This is an ABC podcast.
This is Nijan Footy on ABC Radio Australia.
Hardly to our Palau listeners, the mini games are just days away, which we will see so much of the Pacific Gathering. Can't wait to get over there because I will be there swimming, eating, and a little bit of work as well. But welcome everyone to Nijan Footy, the number one place for Pacifica footy news and stories in the rugby league and rugby in your world. My name is Sam Wykes, and with T still away in Japan having a bit of fun, my main man is back. Will Hopper-White there. How are you, my friend? You did a great job on Friday.
Thank you, Sammy.
Good to have you back.
Thank you, Sammy. It's always a pleasure to be here. Malola late to everyone. We're wrapping up round 16 of the NRL. More upsets. The Eels get off the bottom of the ladder, and man, the top four, I tell you what, they just seem a step above the rest of the competition. We've got the Super Rugby Championship to talk about.
Yep, I tipped that one.
The dominant Crusaders winning their 13th title. That's insane.
I know. Impressive. 32 finals wins in Christchurch.
I don't think that's ever going to be broken.
No, I don't think so.
No. And we've got one of the NRL Rookies of the Year joining us from the high-flying Green Machine Canberra Raiders, Savilio Tamale. A couple of interesting facts about Save. He is a local junior at Manly, played for the Cromer Kingfishers. I didn't like Cromer. They were not a team that I liked as a young Manly junior. But played Australian schoolboys in rugby.
I did see that.
You would love that, Sammy.
Yeah, I was gutted again. Another one gets away. What's going on with our recruiters?
Seriously.
Could have picked their nose, seriously.
Oh, mate. And to prove that his dominance this year is not a fluke, last year in the New South Wales Cup, he topped a number of stats, some of them being tackle breaks, post-contact meters in the New South Wales Cup. So it's no fluke what he's doing or what he's done this year.
He's a good-looking rooster too. He looks fit. He looks like someone that loves the gym, and I've got no doubt he's got a body that is opposite to mine, but can't wait to chat to him.
Moment of the week.
All right, let's get to our moment of the week, and we spoke about this player on Friday, and maybe it was a bit of motivation. He could have heard us as well.
He did.
Eh?
Yeah,
because
that's why,
we weren't really talking about his speed or his physique.
That's right.
Like Savale, like his type of physique.
Yeah.
Four tries. The man, PNG Kumu, Alex Johnston. He's getting closer to Ken Irvine's record. What is he now? He scored four on the weekend for the Bunnies against the Storm. He's now within six tries of equaling the all-time record held by Ken Irvine. That's impressive.
That's huge. He's going to crack it. He signed another extra year, and so he's going to go and beyond. And as we mentioned on Friday, to be the top try scorer in the history of NRL, and you think of the great players that have played our game, and Greg Inglis and Jamie Lyon.
Exactly.
Steve Randolph, all these greats, absolute guns, and he's the top of the try scoring list.
I'm thinking about just how impressive that record is, and with the one club, with the Bunnies.
That makes it even more special.
You know, even more special, like one of the most iconic clubs in the game, and he's going to do it for them. And I was listening, I don't like to listen to anything but our show, Nijan Footy, but I was listening to another show, and they were talking about how does the game celebrate when he does equal it or when he does beat that record. You know, Buddy Franklin from the Sydney Swans, when he kicked his 1,000th, how do you say that? 1,000th?
That's right. Yeah.
Goal. The crowd stormed in there, and there was a beautiful photo of just, 50,000 fans on the pitch, you know, during the game. LeBron James, when he broke the all-time scoring record, they stopped the whole game for at least 20 minutes. What do they do for this? You tell me.
Yeah, stop it like LeBron. Just stop it, give him the match winning ball and just be like, you're the top try scorer, celebrate.
You reckon they'll do that?
Why not? Like, this is never going to be broken again, or in a long time anyway.
I agree. They need to do something like that.
Something special, something.
Well, there we go. Well, you've heard it here first, hopefully. Well, not first, from someone else, but I think that's a good idea. Well done. So well, nice. Alex Johnston, hopefully you break that record very soon.
And Melbourne work at right edge. Still inside their 30. 18-14. The Storm have reclaimed the lead. To the right, Hughes. Pass intercepted! Who's intercepted it? You pass it to the King! He's the man of the house! And Alex Johnston races away to score! Single the boundary! Alex has four! Alex Sykes has 206 in his career, six behind Irvine.
Hello guys, this is Isolde Nasilasila from the Fijian Drua, and you're listening to Legion 40.
How good. I love Andrew Moore's commentary. The man, the king, and the rest for Alex Johnson. He's the man himself, old Maury, the way he commentates the game. But let's get to rugby league, Will. What are we starting with here?
Yeah, and so well, we started the round off Friday night in chilly Campbelltown. The Raiders took on the Tigers, and a number of Nijan players stood out in this game for me from both teams. In particular, for the Canberra Raiders, they come up with the win, 16-12. Skipper Joe Tapene. There's a moment, probably like a 2-3 minute window, where he broke the game open. One, he saved the try. The old phrase, saving tries is better than scoring them. And so he saved the try on Jerome Luai. And I believe it was the next set, he scored a try, which was a beautiful tip on from his powerhouse prop partner in Papali'i. And he strolled over and scored a try.
10 metres out from the West Tigers line. No score. 13 minutes 40 gone. Dummy half Starling goes left. Papali'i. Oh, what a delicious, lovely, beautiful pass to Tarpany. One front row to the other. And Big Joe, who ran a great line, looks up and says, oh, Papa, thank you. That was gorgeous. Try to Canberra. 14 minutes gone. Tarpany gets the try. But what about the ball from Papali'i?
The commentary, Sammy.
I told you, mate. Maury is the best.
How good. The delicious pass.
Gorgeous.
Gorgeous. How good was that? And so nothing better than when seeing middles link up together and set each other up for a try. And so that was a great try saver and try scored by Joe Tapene. Other Nijan players to take note of, the most tackles in that game was the West Tigers hooker, Apisai Korosau, with 48 tackles. And the top run meters of the game was Jareem Buller with 214 run meters. And so a number of Nijan players standing out in that match. Another game was this was an upset. I actually went the Warriors over the Panthers over in New Zealand. A number of their Origin players out.
All of them out. All their stars were out in this one, yeah.
Yeah. Cleary, Yo, To'o, like that, yeah. And they've come away and done a job over the Warriors, over there in New Zealand. So big ups to the Penrith Panthers. That's why. Don't doubt them. You're just fueling the
so
fire.
So now they're in the eight. Can they make a run?
100% they can make a run.
You reckon?
I still believe that teams are looking over their shoulder for Penrith. There's just a dark shadow in the back.
If they scrape into the eight,
you don't want to miss them.
You don't want to play them.
And the other game to talk about is the Roosters' dominant performance over the North Queensland Cowboys at Allianz Stadium. Your mate, Sammy, Marky Mark, Nawanga Nitawase.
Mate, my mates wouldn't leave rugby, so he's not my mate anymore. No, I'm joking. So I've got no friends, yeah, because they're all in rugby league, but he is absolutely killing it. Like, you'd see him, I'm assuming, because you're involved with the Roosters, the wellbeing space.
Yeah, and so
have you had any chats with him?
I don't really know him too personally, but I see him around the.
But what about his size then?
Just his demeanor and the way he conducts himself. He's not a cocky guy, but you can just see like, man, this guy means business. Just the way he looks, the way he walks, and obviously it's showing in the way that he plays. And so a try that he scored, both him and Daniel Tupou, I wanted to highlight. One of them was. Well, it was a bit of a freakish try, but more so wanted to focus on his effort on effort. He got tackled during the play. He got up, backed up, and scored a try in the corner.
Played to Docker Clay, goes right to Tedesco, then away Savala. Quick hands toyed and Nawanga Nitawase over the 40 and over halfway. Accelerates, wraparound ball back to Tedesco. He's got support. Little stab kick now meant for Savala from Toya. Savala gets there, flicks it back on the inside to Nawanga Nitawase. He goes over and scores. Stop the fight. That's it. That's the one. That's numero uno this year. Maybe not. But it's right up there for a team try.
Hey, the Chookies are going all right as well. We talked about the Panthers maybe going on a run. The Roosters, from that round one game, I believe, against the Broncos when they got absolutely flogged to now. Mm. What's happening between the four walls over there that's created this difference?
Well, I think it's a good combination of experience with youth. and a number of their youth come through the academy program. That's sort of their cream of the crop junior program that they have at the Roosters. And obviously, those young guys were playing together coming through the junior system. And so there's that camaraderie, there's that bond there. And, you know, they're being tutored by the older boys like the Lindsay Collins and James Tedesco's. And it seems like that they're gelling, and they're gelling at the right time. And that's the funny thing with the NRL season. You can start off rubbish, as they did in round one, but they're sort of putting things into place where it matters towards the back end of the year. And so I think that was highlighted in Mark's try, because as you would have heard in that commentary, he got tackled. He got tackled out. He threw the ball in, and then there's a bit of play, got back up, followed the ball, picked it up and scored in the corner, still beating a couple defenders. And so, yeah, normal. I mean, if that was me, I get tackled, I'm just clapping the boys, please score the try. But to have the presence of mind to wake up or to get up and still follow the ball.
Yeah, chase the feet. No, yeah, there was plenty of numbers in the picture, wasn't there, Roosters players to score that try. And, yeah, again, the way they're going, you'd hate to face them as well if they get into that eight. But still plenty of rounds to go. We'll touch on the Cowboys, their coach, Toddy Payton. Men playing boys out there. Like, it's... I've heard that saying used once before with Jamie Joseph, the coach of the Highlanders. He said, I need men, not boys, after we got flogged. Mm. So similar, the Cowboys, last three games, 138 points. They've conceded only 26 points. They've scored.
Wow.
Average of 46 points in those three games. And funny enough, they're only one game out of the eight as well. So that's how tight this competition is. Crazy. But what do you make of their performance? Like, where's their?
Yeah, well, that's not a pretty.
Where's
stat.
Their points coming from, and how are they stopping the points?
That's right. That's not a pretty stat. And I think, you know, anyone in rugby league, or especially in NRL, will know that defense wins premierships, right? And so to be linking that many and then to not be scoring that many, that's a real worrying sign for the Cowboys. If you hear that, Sammy, your coach say that, men against boys, does that? You're in the sheds. Does that motivate you, or does that deflate you?
Yeah, I was probably the guy that would just be dirty at the coach. You're a boy, like just like a child kicking stones and saying it's not our fault, it's your fault. But look, I think as a team, as a collective, you know you're not going out there on purpose to leak that many points. And at the moment, something's not right. And I was just the way you've got to find the answers. It's within the group. It's not the coach.
That's it, yeah.
It's not the other management. It's actually the boys getting together or the men getting together and actually solving the problems and making sure that we don't want to have this feeling. So it's up to them. They're in control of that preparation. So regardless what the coach says, yeah, they need to find a way.
That's right. And they're the only ones that can get themselves out of the hole, right? No one else can. And then maybe just to finish on a highlight with the Roosters, Daniel Tupou. Our mate who's in the top 10 as well, we spoke about on Friday, scored a try. But I wanted to highlight he scored a try off a kick from a young Nigerian player, Benaya Ioelu. Kicked it across field to the veteran, Daniel Tupou.
Plays the ball. Shocking pass from Tedesco to dummy half. Ioelu picks it up, 17 out. Crossfield kick for Tupou. He's not marked. He catches it. He scores. Robert Derby, I've got this question. Where were you? Tupou catch, Tupou try.
And so, yes, shout out to Nella and young Benaya. If you don't know Benaya, I think that was only his third or fourth game, but to have the confidence and presence of mind to look up, see your winger unmarked and kick it across field, it takes a lot of confidence for a young kid to do that. And going to the ladder, the top four, the Bulldogs, Raiders, Storm and Warriors. Clearly front runners at this point of the competition. They are three games clear of the rest of the chasing pack. And from 5th to 16th, there's only a two games differential, which is quite interesting. Shows how close the competition is. And so remember, you can hear every NRL game live on ABC Radio Australia. In other news, Queensland Cup, we have the PNG Hunters. Unfortunately, they lost 46-16. To the Brisbane Tigers to fall outside the top eight for the first time in a while. It was Judah Rimble's first game for the Hunters after moving back from the UK, and he scored a try on his return. The disappointing part for the Hunters was that they were up 16-8 at halftime, then conceded 38 in the second half. They have the bye this weekend, which is that's tough. Tough pill to swallow.
Tough pill to swallow. Halftime can be the biggest killer for the coaches. Absolutely. Paulie Aiton, I'm sure, ripping all of his hair out.
And then in the New South Wales jersey flag, the Silktails lost a tight one to the Roosters in Lautoka, 28-22. They'll play there again this Friday against the Storm, who are second on the ladder, so that'll be a tough game. Time for some rugby, Sammy.
Great work, Will. You're on fire. T, better watch out. You better come back soon. He might be out of a job. But let's go over to Rugby Union and the Crusaders. They have been crowned Super Rugby Pacific champions for the 13th time, winning a tight one against the Chiefs, 16 points to 12. You know, like it's like, and you factor in the two Super Rugby Aotearoa championships in 2020 and 2021 because of COVID. And, you know, that's 15 titles. And I knew I got 15 titles from somewhere last week on Monday. Yeah. I just wasn't sure where I got it from, but it was those two during COVID. But it was 98, 99, 2000, 2002, 2005, 2006, 2008, 2017, 2018, 2019, 22, 2023, now 2025.
What are they doing? What's in Christchurch?
I know. It's unbelievable. Like, and to put on top, they are the second team in history to have won a Super Rugby title the year after, you know, not making the finals the year before. The Waratahs were the only other team to do that when they won it back in 2014. So it's an impressive turnaround from last season. And I said it on Friday, you know, the reason why I was tipping the Crusaders was because I wanted to see their coach, Rob Penny, have the success he deserves. And you know, people talk about the poor results from the Crusaders last year when they didn't make the finals. But his coaching journey in the last 4 years has been very, very challenging. You know, he was sacked by the Waratahs back in 2021. You know, didn't even finish the season off. I think it was like just after halfway. And I guess I will stand firm the fact that it was a wrong call, because you look what happens. You look what happens when you stick with like a good person with good character that understands detail, understands connection and bringing teams together. Like,
good things take time, right?
Good things take time. And, you know, I believe that's why the Crusaders as an organisation, that's why they've won 13 titles, because even when times get tough, the easiest thing you can do is probably get rid of a head coach.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can support, you can trust, you can put things in place. Hey, it wasn't our year last year. What do you need to help us get success, get us to where we need to be? And that's what they would have done in that review. Maybe they needed some more coaching. Maybe they need some more time on feet. Maybe they need some other resources.
They must have good vision and perspective, right, to, you know, look down the track and be like, oh, you're gone, we didn't get the results. But it's a big, there's potential here.
Do you know what they're really good at doing as well is their connection with their old coaches. Like Robbie Dean still has input. Wayne Smith still has input.
Okay, so there's no sort of bitter breakups.
No bitter breakups. And everyone understands that Crusaders jersey comes first. So even if you didn't get your results or whatever, there's still a thing of, no, the Crusaders gave me this opportunity.
Yeah.
It's my duty to give back wherever I can. If I can help, I will. So I know that, there's plenty of support. And you look at their coaching staff, Matty Todd, he played for the Crusaders and won those championships as well. There's just so many good people in and around that organisation where it's very hard not to get success when you're rubbing shoulders with those kinds of people. But the game itself, when I saw Crusaders captain David Havili lead his team out, you know, it's a long walk from that dressing shed. It's a long, long walk. And as he's walking past down the tunnel, like the fence in either side, like it just had all the championship posters on there, like lined up, like McCaw, Daniel Carter, Richie Munga, Brad Thorne, Ruben Thorne, Kieran Reid, Whitelock. It just captured, like it was just captured perfectly. Just David Havili leading his team. It was like a slow walk out there.
All right.
And all of them, like all those names holding up championship trophies. So there was a steal in David Havili's eye.
Yeah, yeah.
And just like, you know, it just meant business. And I thought like, oh, that's pretty special. And what I did like as well, you know, from the Chiefs, when they ran out, I love the fact that I heard the cowbells still banging.
Right.
Because the CEO for the Crusaders said prior to the game that he was banning the cowbells. They should be melted at the gates.
And they were ringing loud.
And they were ringing loud and proud, the Chiefs fans. They were still able to get it in there. So I thought that was still pretty cool to be able to see the fans still get that one through the security guards and ring them loudly. But I thought there was going to be more points. I did say on Friday it was going to be like a 31-30 type of game, but you know, it wasn't meant to be. But it was going to be very tight, and that's exactly what happened. It was a pure arm wrestle. The momentum was with the Chiefs early on when they scored first in the 13th minute to George Dyer, and then it went towards the Crusaders when Cody Taylor scored just 15 minutes later. Stayed pretty even. Halftime score, 13-12 to the Crusaders. So it was just a tight affair, not much in it. And when it came down to those championships, the championship minutes, it just started to favour the Crusaders. They really just turned those screws.
Can't teach experience.
Exactly right. And this is where I believe the Crusaders won the game. Like, firstly, the Crusaders' ability to adjust at scrum time. Tight end prop Fletcher Neal was getting penalised for dropping his bind and collapsing the scrum, and it was going the Chiefs' way. And you talk about, like, experienced players. Cody Taylor, veteran hooker for the Crusaders, just went up to the ref and asked him nicely, calmly, "Hey, ref, what are you seeing here so we can adjust it?"
Mm-hmm.
That's all he said. Went back, they had a chat. They just fixed it straight away on the run. And they ended up dominating the scrum time and getting their own penalties and then getting that momentum back. And then the other fact that the Crusaders' kicking game was elite. When they kicked long, they found grass. Mm. And, you know what it's like. When a team finds grass with their kicking game, what does that do for your kick chase line?
Everyone gets a bit more hungrier and they're
you get more meters. Meters. You get more meters. You can chew off more meters because it's the time the ball's on the ground and not in someone's hand. You're eating up those meters. So they did that well. And then when they put up contestable kicks, you know, box kicks, Will Jordan was just having one of those days, the fullback for the Crusaders. Like he was contesting, leaping for the ball and coming up trumps more often than not. And there was a sequence later in the game when it was, you know, time to just really close out the game to get the win. I can't remember if it was a turnover from the Crusaders created a turnover from lineout or at the breakdown, but what they did was they put a box kick up, you know, big contestable kick from the base of the scrum. Will Jordan catches it, regathers. The very next ruck, the halfback does a toppy kick. So they kick the top of the ball and it rolls, gets that roll in it. And then it just rolled straight into Chiefs territory. You know, they were started like from an exit, 22 metres out, sort of under pressure because the Chiefs had the ball. To then within three plays, they're up the other side. And it would just look like it was like death by a thousand cuts. You know, and until they closed out the game. So I just thought
that's just IQ, eh?
It is rugby just IQ.
Smarts.
So I thought, you know, they well deserved. And again, congratulations to the Crusaders and all the players involved, especially my good mate Rob Penny. And for the Chiefs, unfortunately, that's three straight grand finals they've lost in a row. They lost to the Crusaders back in 23 and then the Blues last year, and now they lost this year. But, you know, they've come up short. They've been fantastic all year. I'm sure they will go for a fourth one next season. But let's get to the British and Irish Lions. Only 7 days away until they play their first game in Australia against the Western Force. But they played a historic game in Ireland against the Los Pumas, Argentina, in Dublin, I believe, with Argentina winning this one 28-24. And I know what people think, oh, man, it's Argentina, but they're actually ranked fifth in the world. So in the last 12 months, they've beaten South Africa, they've beaten New Zealand, they've beaten Australia, they've beaten all the big teams. So to some, it might be a surprise, but honestly, it's not. Argentina are on fire, and they'll be smoky for the World Cup when that happens. Cohesion was a little bit of an issue, a couple of disallowed tries from the Lions, but I want to focus our attention on the centre pairing, Samoan Bandiaki and Tongan Sione Tuipulotu in the centres. And I'm really keen to see this combination develop further on this tour. You know, Bandiaki came out and said after the game he was a little bit frustrated that he didn't connect well enough with Sione.
Mm.
He just thought, you know, he's such a class player that it was frustrating that I couldn't really get us into the game a little bit more.
Yeah,
yeah. And I guess with the loss in his mind, they could have potentially done more, you know, because they know that both of them can cause some havoc out there. But it didn't gel as well as he thought it was. But in my mind, I believe there's enough evidence there that from this game that they're going to cause some damage if they persist with this center combination. Just give them time in the saddle. Give them time to connect, you know, on the training field and stuff. Because they did this. They did this play, and this is where they're biggest weapon will be first phase starter plays, scrum off scrum and line out.
Mm.
They did this play off the line out. It ended up being disallowed and it was Sione Tuipulotu's try because there was a knock-on in the tackle. But the Lions executed this planned move off the line out in their attack in 22, and they delivered off the top. Bundy hit in short, hit in a short line, and attracted these two Argentinian defenders, and they bit in on him. But what also happened was the inside and outside, defenders, they were fixated on Bundy, you know. All eyes were on him, and what he did as he dug into the line, did a nice little circle ball back to the fly half, and Sione was hitting short.
Yeah.
And the guy on the outside, the defender on the outside, the Argentinian, that should have been marking Sione, like, because he was so, you know, fixed on Bundy. He misses, doesn't see Sione coming, gets a nice short ball. He scores a try, but there was just a knock on within the tackle beforehand. So that's enough for me to say that they're going to be outstanding.
Yeah.
I feel like they're going to be, persist with that. And I think if you add Finn Russell, their 10, that combination, he's world class. Ooh, look out. Look out. So persist with that one. I reckon they'll be sweet. And some squad news. The All Blacks have announced their squad. 13 Legion stars all up in their squad. Unbelievable. Samsoni Taukiaho from the Chief. Pasililo Tosi from the Hurricanes. Patrick Tuipulotu from the Blues. Tupo Va'i from the Chief. Sami Penifinau from the Chief. You see Ari Savea from Moana Pacifica, which is also good to see. Duplessis Karifi, the captain for the Hurricanes. It's his first time being in the All Blacks, so he could get a potential debut.
Oh, good.
Wallace Setiti as well, number 8 for the Chiefs. And here's another big one. Timothy Tavatavanauai, Highlanders 12, Fiji. And he was with
You sound like a Fijian saying that,
you know, does it? I've been over there enough.
Far out.
I'm considered local.
I'm impressed.
Yeah, Lolovina, shit. But, he was included in this one. So people thought that he would have chosen Fiji, but he's gone down the All Blacks route. And in the back three there, he's also got Caleb Clark and Seville Reese with injury cover. Christian Leo-Willi and Emoni Narawa, you know, for them. So there you have it. That's rugby union in a nutshell.
Too good, Sammy.
Absolutely, it was too good. Where are we off to next, but where are we going?
And so I think it's time for our guest this week from the Canberra Raiders, 20-year-old Savilio Tamale.
Hey guys, it's Josh Tapali here and you're listening to Nesian Footy.
Well, today we have another young gun on Nesian Footy, a future Tongan representative in the making. Will, is that what you said? You're going to select him?
Absolutely, mate. Yeah. Bowls coach. He's in the team.
He's in the team. There you go. You've heard it first here. But he's only 20 years of age. He made his NRL debut last year in round 27 for the Dragons, ironically against his club that he's at now, the Canberra Raiders. And he is also, and this one hurts to say, he is also another young rugby union player that found a home in rugby league. Seriously, what are our recruiters doing? But anyway, let's welcome him to the show. Salve Leo Tamale. Welcome to Nesian Footy, brother.
Thanks, boys. Thanks for having me on today. It's grateful to be able to get on and speak to such great people like yourselves.
Oh, mate, thanks, mate. I appreciate it. No one's ever said that to me before at the start of a show, so I appreciate that one. But, hey, before we get into your footy career, you know, let's start with, you know, family and culture. Whereabouts is the family from in Tonga?
So my dad's from Tokomalolo. My mum's family is from Hakame. I was born and bred in Sydney, Manly, New South Wales. I've lived there for 18 years and then obviously moved down to Wollongong for footy opportunity, and then now I'm in Canberra. It's my first year, and I'm loving it down here.
Say less. Hey, that sounds very familiar, man. Both my parents born in Tonga, born and raised in Paradise, in Manly. Thankfully, we grew up there. And so, Savi, have you had the chance to go back to Tonga in your life?
Yeah, so I've been there a few times, three times. I haven't been recently, though. I think I went last time I went there, I was around 10 years old, so it's been a while, but yeah, I'm looking to go back there with the family sometime soon and meet everyone and all my family over there.
I was going to ask that. What's your knowledge and connection with Tongan culture, like language and food and all that growing up here in Australia, but obviously Tongan blood running through you?
So to be honest with you, I understand Tongan, but I can't really speak it. Plastic, but
no, you can't say plastic. We got a rule, you can't say plastic. We're still learning, but at least you can understand it. That's more than me.
So, I'm growing up, my dad, he moved to Australia when he was 18, So we started our family here when he was 18. Growing up with him, he's obviously fresh from Tonga, and to see where he is today with his language and his knowledge around his work is really cool, and that's someone who I look up to because of his work ethic. But with in regards to like the Tongan culture, yeah, it's big for my family. Turning 21 at the end of the year, so it'll be pretty cool.
Oh, there's a big one there. The guest list 500, is it?
Yeah, yeah, 500 or something like that. I'm on the roll with that at the moment, so I can't wait to get all my family down and celebrate with them all.
Yeah, well, I'm sure you're making them all very proud, and it was good to see them all at your debut last year, to see the photos of everyone there. And you grew up in Manly Suvet. Did you play both league and union growing up, or what was it like? Did you start league, then go to union, or how was that for you?
So I played league growing up for the Cromer Kingfishers. I'd always wear your brothers and sister, Bunny and Lehigh, growing up. Lehigh and Bunny were at Beacon Hill, would always they'll be the one team that we always wanted to verse because they were the best in the comp at that age. They'd always win it, take it out back to back. So I grew up playing league, and then I made the switch to union when I was 14, played for the Warringah Rats, and then went through that pathway until I was 18, and then made the schoolboys team. And then I was very fortunate enough to get a gig at the Dragons there and be able to go over there and play footy for 2 years with them. Because definitely changed my footy career, which I'm grateful for.
Sammy Litt, another one slipped.
The Raddies, mate. The Raddies as well. Oh,
Sammy's a big union man.
I'm a union man. It always breaks my heart when I see our boys cross over, babe. But you got to do what you have to do. When we had Lehigh on, when was it, last year or something, he talked about the junior age group and then Bunny being an absolute weapon.
Yep.
And she would be bumping him off, you know, all the time. So you would have come up against Bunny during the...
Every time she got the ball, she ran through our whole team. Scored every time she got the ball. I don't think anyone wanted to tackle her. She's too strong, too powerful.
That's unbelievable. I love hearing that. Oh, man, how good. Yeah. But, you know, the Male family name, how are they connected, I guess, around Sydney with family? Who else? Are you related to the Hopuates as well? Or is it a massive family?
I don't know if I'm related to the Hopuati, but I'd say so. I got family in Italy, America, Tonga, Samoa, Hawaii, and then obviously in Australia as well. So I'd say, it's pretty spread out, my family name, and it's pretty cool to see everyone everywhere.
And would that be a goal of yours? Obviously, the immediate goal is to recover from your knee while you're rehabbing that, but sort of a longer-term goal, would that be something you'd love to do, is represent Tonga?
Yeah. So I was actually, when I did my knee, I had this last week off and I was just by myself the whole time. I had Mum come down and look after me, but had a lot of time to reflect upon, you know, that time and just sitting there at home idle for a bit, and you just, you know, question like, I think your headspace goes a bit down, but to have Mum there, she really helped me through that period. And I actually did some goal setting. I said to myself, I want to make sure my knee gets better, come back stronger, everything around that knee's, make sure it's all strong and that. But one goal that I put down was to get selected into that Tonga representative team, and that's my goal for my rehab journey.
Oh, good.
Mate, that's awesome. You know, I mean, you learn a lot about your body. Learn a lot about yourself when you're going through your rehab process. So it's a blessing if you want to make it that way when you have those injuries. But you drew in your footy stuff, played a bit of both. You know, what was your experience like as a junior footy player? Were you the childhood freak? Were you someone that got overlooked and didn't make the teams? What was it like for you?
Yeah. So, growing up, I didn't make any of the, you know, hard mats, SG ball teams or any of that stuff. I was more a quiet achiever. I think the highest representative team I made was in year 12, Triple C Union team. And then through that, I got picked through Waratahs and then found my way here. But, growing up, no, I didn't get selected into any representative teams like Sydney North, Triple C, not until year 12. So I was a slow burner, but I just put my head down and just kept working because that's all you can do when talent fails. So
That's good to hear, Savan. I think that's a great lesson and message for a number of young players and parents.
Yep.
That you don't have to be the gun freak from under sevens all the way through, because the end goal is to be playing professionally right now. Look at you now. Right, yeah. And so I'm sure
same
you would.
Lehigh as well.
Exactly. Yeah, same as Lehigh. Yes, yeah, similar route. And so I'm sure you'd much rather be playing NRL than make
school
those
boys.
Teams.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
and so you're living your dream. And so, firstly, good on you for grinding away behind the scenes and as well with your start towards the season. Now you debuted for the Canberra, for the St. George Dragons. Obviously, that would have been a childhood dream that you achieved. Talk to us about the day, the week leading up, and all of the above about that day.
Yeah, so I played my last cup game the week before that.
Okay.
That was around 26, and I was told like just chill. Basically an off season now.
Yeah.
So I didn't go to train at all throughout that week. I think I went to the captain's run. So my diet, my sleep, my everything just went out the window because obviously off season you can do whatever you want, eat. Like I don't think I trained at all that week, and I got caught into captain's run. I think our speed S&C coach said, "Hey, Sav, can you come in just to fill in case anyone goes down?" And I found out that I was debuting at the end of captain's run.
Wow! So, well, like, did the coach tell you in front of the team, or did he pull you away personally?
Yeah.
Or
so Jack Bird went down. He had a little niggle in his back or hamstring. I can't remember, but that's how I got told the information, and then I told my family straight after. They were amazed. They were happy, and I just couldn't believe it would be against the club that I was going to.
Oh, what's the first thought that's running through your head when your name's getting called to say that you're making your debut? You think about the week that you just had with
I'm
excited.
Yeah, exactly like that, because I think I had KFC the night before, it was bad the whole week. But obviously that changed when I found out that information. And sometimes you got to just control the controllables. And I just put my head down and I didn't use that as an excuse, like diet or sleep or not exercising throughout that week. So,
all right, how good, sub. and then obviously you make the move down to Canberra from Sydney. How's it been? How's the club? How the boys? How's the transition been for you?
Yeah, everyone asks me this, and to be honest with you, I say the same thing every time because it's true. The boys here are just so genuine, coaching staff genuine, Ricky genuine. And I feel like when you have genuine people, it makes everything feel better. Like you feel wanted, you feel welcomed. And that's what I really appreciate about this club. They've given me a home. Like I call this home now, Canberra. It's a great lifestyle here. It's definitely quieter than Sydney. If you have a good support network around you, then you really can't complain. So just grateful for that.
Did you know you were going to Canberra before your debut? Or was that... So you already knew that.
So I think I signed 2 weeks before that game.
Okay, so it's been a big mid-season. 2 weeks.
Yeah. So I signed 2 weeks before that, I think, and then ended up versing them. So
yeah, you played them in your debut. And I was just thinking, mate, you must have had one hell of a game to then sign straight away with Canberra, because Ricky must have been impressed. KFC diet worked. But, when I'm just listening to what you've been saying just around, you were overlooked as a teenager. You felt like you didn't have that preparation you needed, but you still perform well, and you talk about controlling the controllables. So you're really talking from a mature head here. Like where did you learn to be able to navigate and just roll with the punches and do what's required and not make excuses?
Yep.
Who did you learn that from, or where did you learn that from?
To be honest with you, I didn't really learn that from anyone. There was this COVID period in high school where, I was just at home like every day because of the COVID. Obviously, everyone had to stay home. And I think I did what I did last week, goal setting. And it really just hit me that week, and I said to myself, I'm going to go gym, I'm going to eat well, I'm going to prepare well for, like my local grade footy games on the weekend. And I just took it week by week. I wasn't looking too far ahead. And, I just loved that grind during that time because there was nothing else you can do. And I actually had all my cousins. I had a gym downstairs in my garage. All my cousins would come over, Jeremiah, Kylan, Jerome, Dodo. So they just came over. We always hit a gym session every day, and then go play touch at DY Lions, and that would be our fitness during that time. Actually, in fact, like Lehigh, Albert, they all came down.
Yeah.
That was the first time I met Albert, was playing touch with him. he's obviously here now. It's good to have him. I'm doing rehab training with him now, so it's good to have someone that's that wants to work hard. So,
yeah, far out. And I mean, I think it goes to show why you're performing how you're performing. That's no fluke, right?
Nah.
You're putting in the effort behind the scenes. You're driven, you're disciplined. I think that's, especially for us as Polynesians, probably the biggest thing that lets us down is our discipline with eating, right? And so to hear that you've, you know, got that that work ethic and discipline to control your habits like eating goes to show that what you've done this year is no fluke. And so you got to go to Vegas, right, at the beginning of the year and play
Vegas,
there.
Yeah.
Tell us about that whole experience.
Oh, that was unreal. That place is a different world, man. I don't think I could be there more than a week. Everything's just so – everything's happening there 24/7. City of bright lights, and you only really see that place on TV. To be able to go over there and play a game of football at Allegiant Stadium was just unreal. And that whole experience was unreal. The moment we hopped on the plane, like, you could just tell the vibe was different. And, oh, it's just crazy, man.
Did you play yourself into that round one team? Like, did someone get injured? Like, how did that come about?
Yeah, so Albert, so fortunately, unfortunately for Albert, fortunately and unfortunately, it was a tough decision for him to make. He had a baby within that round one period, and he went up to stick and said, look, he can't play because it's first trial. So I was given the opportunity through Albert.
So a little bit longer than captain's run this time before you knew.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah,
a little bit longer.
Way more.
And man, so like you've taken that opportunity and grabbed it with both hands, and you've played well, obviously, up until your injury, and I'm no doubt that you'll come back better and stronger. But you really killed it as a player. And what do you think has contributed to your form, or that's just you thought you were going to play that way anyway?
I think more just the mentality of backing yourself. Like, if you just back yourself, like, man, you can do whatever you want. I just feel like if you're confident going into the game, you know that you've ticked every single box going into the game, then you should have no worries. I feel like you're only really nervous if, you know, you've, like, taken a shortcut or, like, you didn't practice something that's going to come to you towards the game, so...
Where were you when I was 19? Man, where were you? Unbelievable head on your shoulders there. Your debut for the Dragons, saw the family, beautiful photo, beautiful scenes, family on the hill, Tongan flag there as well.
Yep.
A bunch of them, I've got no doubt they'll all be at the 21st as well. And when your jersey presentation for the Raiders game, your mum said some beautiful words there, and I just saw you standing next to it. Firstly, was she in Vegas with you for that one? Or was that before you left?
Yeah.
So she was there doing that jersey presentation.
Vegas, yeah.
When you feel that family support and you see it, and you go out there and you represent them on the field, like, for you, like, what does that do for you inside, like, internally and the energy that you give out because of it?
Yeah, bro. It's the reason, eh? Like, the reason why I'm playing footy is because of my mum, my dad, my sisters. And just to go out there and represent them is very special to me. Even my last name to represent Tamale is really important and special to me. And just to see how touching it was for my mum to come over to Vegas, all the way to Vegas, and support me from there was just amazing.
And such a great blessing. And you do come from a great family. You have wonderful parents, and you're obviously in rehab now. Talk to us about how that's going and maybe when you're hoping to be back on the field.
Yeah. So I had surgery last Tuesday, so I'm not even a week tomorrow. Today's my first day in. We just did all of upper body and rehabbing my knee, slowly getting there, slowly getting that movement in my knee, which is good. And then I think the time frame for me being back is 10 to 12 weeks. So I'll probably...
From the op?
Yeah, from op. So, we're just going to see how it goes. It might be slower than what we expected, but we're just going to see. Take it week by week and obviously...
Back in time for grand final.
Yeah, very true.
Okay, mark that one down. I wanted to ask you as well, bro. Your old man. Hey, don't take offence here, Will. Hopefully, your dad's not listening. Is your old man like Will's dad type of like staunch in that towards his kids when they don't play well? Or do you have someone that, you know, is your dad like the Tongan that's probably more advanced now in a way of, come here,
like
son,
now,
Uma.
Like now he's all right, but when we were growing up, yeah, he's very much a disciplined dad. Those car rides home, yeah.
It's always the car ride. It's always the car ride home.
And that's why I always wanted my mum to come, because my mum was a bit more lenient to me. Having in the car, it made me feel a bit more safer than just me and my dad. But, yeah, like if my dad wasn't like that growing up, I don't think I'd have the mentality and mindset that I have now. So I'm happy that he was the way, because he wouldn't be that way for no reason. So. Yeah.
It's a blessing. When you look, when you think you're laughing. You tell a story about, hey, sometimes you're just running for that back seat, and then you go, shee, get in the front. But, you know, you did mention Tonga was going to be a goal of yours.
Yeah.
You know, you've grown up watching, I guess, the new sort of era of Tongan players when Andrew Fifita and Tamalolo and that came through, as opposed to probably when I grew up, it was not as prevalent. Yeah. What was that like for you growing up as a kid, you know, watching these boys, these men put Tonga on the map?
Oh, it was just unreal to see all the fans there and how much it meant to them. Like, I said to myself, I want to be a part of that. And I just loved just watching them play. Like, there was this, I think it was the New Zealand game, the first time we beat New Zealand a couple of years back. Man, that was just crazy. And after the game, we, like, raided the whole of the Northern Beaches.
I remember that.
Yeah. What do you mean, raided the world? What do you mean?
Yeah, like, everyone, like, you know, cars, how, like, people just, usually,
oh, I did the tailgate.
Cars,
yeah.
Cars, the flags, the music.
Yeah, oh, yeah. I remember watching that from New Zealand, obviously, on social media and seeing... because we have the same circle of friends and family, and seeing everyone just parade through Manly up to the City Harbour Bridge.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was funny as.
And so how old would you have been at that time?
Probably 14, 15, 16. Yeah, 16. 15, 16, I think. Yeah.
Wow, I'm thinking about that as a 15, 16-year-old when we were watching Tonga and that coming through. It was sort of like, nah, no one's playing for Tonga. No one. Like, you know what I mean? We're going to go play for Australia, or we want to play for the All Blacks or something like that. But to know that Will and your crew had that impact on someone like Damale here, and now he's going to have that same opportunity, it's pretty amazing. And what would that mean to you and your family if you when you put that red jersey on?
Yeah. Oh, it'd be unreal. No words could describe that feeling, to be honest with you. No words could describe that.
Unreal, bro. Unreal. Yeah. We'll wrap it up soon. I know you got to get back to training and get rehabbing. I said at the beginning of the show, you look like someone that's pretty strong in the gym. Like, and looks like you don't mind spending some time in the gym. No, am I wrong here? Nah, I'm looking at your physique. Am I really?
Yeah. Mate, the strongest person here is Albert. That guy's a freak, bro.
Like, you see?
He'd start warming up on 100s, and that's my max.
No, it's not. 100 kilos is not your max.
Yeah,
is
max.
It?
Yeah.
After the knee surgery, after your knee rehab, that'll change real quick.
Yeah,
because I'm thinking that, like, all right, so are you a person, would you train with shirt off or on?
No, on.
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 I don't know what I was dreaming up in my head. I thought, shirt off, six-pack. Benching 160 easy. Okay, fair enough. There you go. And favorite Tongan food?
Lusipi and manioke.
Lusipi.
And probably dessert, keke. I love keke sitte.
Oh, nice. Nice with the Nutella inside or just by itself?
No, by itself. Or Nutella, yeah.
Or Nutella. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I had a good batch of those the other day.
Yeah,
nice. I won't talk about that. So just for those who are listening as well, tell us a bit about your family. You mentioned you got some a few sisters. So how many siblings do you have, and what number are you?
Yeah, so I'm number one. I have two younger sisters, Anaalatu Tamale and Leonette Tamale. They're in high school. They both play sports. Lee's playing league Oztag league, and then Anna's in netball touch, and hopefully she pursues that.
Yeah, and are they looking to pursue it professionally or just for fun, or what do you think?
Oh, I'm not sure yet. I think they're playing it more for the social part, but
nice.
I think my younger sister, she loves her sport, so hopefully she makes her way down that path too somewhat in her later career.
Beautiful. Hey, one last question before we wrap things up. A lot of our content does go out to the Pacific, you know, people in the islands of Samoa, you know, Palau, everywhere. And you know, they love hearing about some of the training tips that some of our superstars are doing. What would be your one training tip for a young 14, 15, 16-year-old, or even now you're only 20, so even yourself, what would be your training tip for any young boy and girl out there wanting to pursue what you're doing right now?
Yeah, probably success doesn't come straight away. I think at a young age, I wanted to do gym once a week and expect results. That's not how it works. It takes time. So just put your head down and just keep grinding, and you'll just see little improvements each week, and that's what you want. Success doesn't come like that. You just got to just bide your time and bite the mouth guard down and just put in the work.
Is this guy 20?
Can't be. I'm only learning that now, and I'm nearly 40. So, I wish I'd have had your mindset when I was younger. I might have been something. But anyway, it wasn't meant to be. I get to do this for a living instead. But it's been an absolute pleasure to speak to you, man. Honestly, just listening to you talk about what it means to play footy, represent your family, you know, control those controllables. I think you've got a long career ahead of you, man, and I just wish you all the best. Yeah. And I can't wait to see you in that red jersey as well, flying that flag and going hundies, bro. Much love. Ofalahi atu.
Speedy recovery, toko
afatu. Thanks, Doc. Thanks for having me on. This will actually be my first podcast, so get that done. Yeah.
Awesome.
Thanks, boys.
Nisian Footy with Sam and T.
Give me three answers for this one.
All right, we are on for Give Me Three. Will, have you played this game before?
I think I've played previously, and I think I hurt T's score, so sorry, T, in advance.
Awesome. Hopefully that happens again today. So I've made it extra hard, but you should get this one. No, it's not too hard. You should be right. If you're listening to my rugby chat, there's one answer in there for you. Okay.
All right.
So hopefully you're listening well. But yeah, Give Me Three. It's our game of categories. 3 points up for grabs each week. The loser.
What's the loser? Depends what the.
We have to shout a day spa for their partner, and all of us, we get to go together in like a bit of a spa, a bit of a dinner.
The loser shouts.
Yeah, the loser shouts.
Okay.
But let's get into it. The Crusaders have won 13 Super Rugby titles. All right. Give me three teams that have beaten the Crusaders in a grand final.
Oh, wow. Testing my rugby knowledge here, Sammy.
Yeah. Well,
so if I get one wrong, is that it?
Yeah, three guesses. And so it's the best out of three. So like if it's one out of three, so each point will go towards the score if you do get one. But you should do.
I'm going New Zealand teams then. Auckland Blues won?
Blues won. 2003. Blues won 21 points to 17 at Eden Park. So there's one. Good start.
Who was in that team? Was the great Rubeni?
Yeah, Rubeni and Carlos Spencer.
So that was the Goat Blues
team. That was the Goat Blues team, yep.
Yeah, okay. Okay, so Blues, Hurricanes?
Negative.
All right, one more. I'm thinking if I dare go an Aussie team.
Why are you laughing, mate?
Huh?
Why are you laughing at our poor Aussie teams?
It's just that, mate. Crusaders are just something else. The Chiefs beat them?
That's a negative, not the Chiefs. And the reason why is that why you're laughing at our Aussie teams, because the other Brumbies. Three teams, 2004 Brumbies, 47 to 38 in Canberra.
Was that the Goat Brumbies team with George Brumbies Smith team, and
yep.
Larkham,
Mark Gerard.
Gregan, Gerard?
2011 Reds, Quade Cooper, 18-13, Willie Genya. 2014 Waratahs, Izzy Folau, 33-32.
I can't believe I doubted the Goat Brumbies team.
I know, mate. So at 1 point, fantastic result from my end, but that's our time up. Tell your friends about Nisian Footy. Find it wherever you get your podcasts or on the ABC Pacific website. Thanks for jumping in again. We'll hopefully have you again very soon. This show was produced on the lands of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation.
In the Fale is a music show on ABC Radio Australia, hosted by me, Paola Tukefu. I'll be spinning my favourite tunes from dancehall to disco, calypso to country, reggae to roots, and hip-hop to house music, from across the era to keep the kids and the aunties happy. If it has a pumping groove, I'll be bringing it to you to bump you into the weekend.
Search up In the Fale to listen online or find it in the ABC Listen app.